Hello everyone, and a very warm welcome once more, and thank you for joining us this morning. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick bringing you Radio Tyneside's devotional programme, New Day Dawning. Our theme today looks at the great divide between the rich and poor in our world today. Let's begin though with a song of praise, a hymn which asks God to guide us, protect us and sustain us as we journey through life's difficult times. This is the Fron Choir singing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer.
Guide me, O Thou Great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty, hold me with Thy powerful hand.
From a hymn which mentions bread of heaven, let's now turn our thoughts to bread for the world. The words of this next song are a real challenge for us today. It says, look outside your window, see my broken world out there, and let me ask you a question. Do you care? Do we care about the suffering in our world? This song can be found on my album Call to Serve, free to download on the website sheilahamill.co.uk. It's called Take Eat, This Is My Body.
Take eat, this is my body, broken for you. Eat it.
Blood of the covenant.
ask if you
The rich man in our Bible reading today doesn't care at all about the poor man right outside his home. I'm reading from Luke chapter 16, from verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Here is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus.
A rich man dressed in purple, fine linen and in fur, he ate from sumptuous banquets, his meals au cordon bleu. He lived his life of luxury, to him this was his fate. Yet he ignored the poor man who lay dying at his gate. The dog showed far more mercy than the rich man ever did. They'd come and lick the wounds of this sad old invalid. He dreamed that scraps of food were falling from the rich man's plate. He woke then, died of hunger there by the rich man's gate. He was carried off by angels to be at Abram's side. To Hades went the rich man, for that same night he died. And as he lay in torment, saw Abram far away, with Lazarus beside him, right there at heaven's gate. He called for a drop of water, he was burning up inside, but a chasm lay between them, the gap was far too wide. But Abram said, "Remember, your life brought such good things. Now this poor man's found comfort, just hear him dance and sing." Thank you. please warn my family. If Lazarus tells my brothers, they'll escape this agony. Oh no, said Father Abraham, the words there to be read. If they won't heed the prophets, they won't trust the risen dead.
The rich man here was dressed in purple finery, the kind which only the very wealthy then could afford. Our modern-day equivalent might be a bespoke suit from Savile Row, or shoes by Louboutin or Jimmy Choo. This rich man also feasted every day, which meant that his vast table would have been adorned with exotic and costly food. He was self-indulgent, and to him the poor man at his gate was just part of the landscape outside. In fact, he was an inconvenient obstruction at the entry to his luxurious home. Everyone served the needs of this wealthy man. He even expected this of Lazarus in the afterlife. His was a life of comfort, power, and privilege. When we look out of the windows of our homes, we don't often see the poor lying at our doors. But when we look through the windows of our television screens, or by way of social media, horrifying images of suffering people in our broken world scream out to us. This parable so perfectly describes a very similar situation in our world today. It's quite amazing the stories Jesus told then were so prophetic and have been so relevant throughout the ages. So what does the Bible say that God requires of the privileged and the powerful? According to the prophet Micah, it is to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. A vicar was once in serious trouble for swearing in the opening sentence of his sermon. This is what he said. 22,000 children will die today due to poverty, and no one cares. He used the complete swear word. As his congregation left the church, more of them expressed their shock and fury about that one word rather than the sad fact that so many children die each day of starvation in our world. Here's a song called Beauty for Brokenness.
Beauty for brokenness, hope for despair. Lord, in the suffering, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace. Sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase. Shelter for fragile lives, cure for their ills. Work for the craftsman, trade for the skills. Land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak. Voices to plead the cause of those who can't speak. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, the tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Refuge from cruel wars, havens from fear. Cities for sanctuary, freedoms to share. Peace to the killing fields, scorched earth to green. Christ for the bitterness, his cross for the pain. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion. unchange our love from a spark to a flame. Rest for the ravished earth, oceans and streams, plundered and poisoned, a future, a dream. Lord, end our madness, carelessness, greed. Make us content with the things that we need. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us...
That hymn there was brought to us by Graeme Kendrick. This is Radio Tyneside, Hospital Radio for Newcastle and Gateshead, broadcasting on Channel 1 of Hospedia, the Ward Entertainment System, on 157 AM in the hospital community and on Radio Player. Some years ago, some film producers interviewed some people who were living rough in London, near Waterloo Station. In the course of making the film, some of those filmed broke into song, some with bits of opera, some sang folk songs, some sentimental ballads, but one old man sang a religious song called Jesus' Blood Never Failed Me Yet. All of the footage wasn't used for the documentary, but it was collected, including this particular song, which was copied onto a continuous reel. A technician accidentally left it running while he went out to get a coffee. When he came back, a normally lively room was unnaturally subdued. People were moving around slowly. Some were sitting alone, quietly weeping. He was puzzled until he realised that they'd been overcome by this old man's unaccompanied singing. Orchestral backing was later added, and what we're about to hear is the result. The old man died shortly after the recording had been made, but he died full of faith. Amazing faith, as expressed in his simple song. Jesus' blood never failed me yet, never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet, this one thing I know, that he loves me so. Even if we fail to show our love to the needy, Jesus' love is constant. Did Lazarus have a similar song of faith in his heart as he lay there unloved and uncared for, dying on the street?
Jesus' blood never found me yet, never found me yet. Jesus' blood never found me yet. This one thing I know, only love. Blood never found me yet, never found me yet. Jesus' blood never found me yet. This one thing I know, only love. Jesus' blood never found. Yes, never found me. Yes, Jesus' blood never found me. Yes, this one thing I know, holy love. Jesus' blood never found me. Yes, never found. Blood never found me yet. This one thing I know.
I don't know how anyone could listen to that and not be moved. And how could the rich man in our story not be moved by Lazarus's plight either? The rich man's fault was that he could look on human suffering and feel no pity whatsoever for another's pain. He did nothing evil. He just did nothing at all about this man's suffering. How do we respond when God calls us to act on behalf of the powerless and needy? Will we go where we're asked to go? Do what we should do? Will our love be shown in action? The prophet Haggai had this to say: "Is it a time for you to be living in your panelled houses while this house remains a ruin?" Let's listen to a classical hymn written by Samuel Wesley called "Lead Me, Lord." Once read these words: "There is nothing wrong in enjoying the benefits of our labours, but we need to ask ourselves, have we lost a sense of proportion, and have we lost our higher Christian values in the race to have more and more?" The New Testament affirms this, but also invites us to adjust the balance of power and wealth. St. Paul says, "Our desire is not that others may be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality." In Charles Dickens' book A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge, the well-known villain of the story, is shown the frightening reality of the future by the ghost of Christmas yet to come. And so this man has a very important question to ask. He cries out in despair to the phantom, saying, "Assure me that I yet may change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life." The question is, how much of our lives, how much of our lifestyles are we willing to alter to bring justice and mercy to our world? Let's at least pray that God will open our eyes and hearts to see things as they really are, for that would be the place to start. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick at Radio Tyneside. Thank you for listening to New Day Dawning, and please join us again next week. If you've got any requests or comments, or you want to publicise up-and-coming events in the area, you can contact us online at info@radiotyneside.co.uk. May I leave you today with the hymn, "Be Thou My Vision," from the album Golden Days and Friendly Faces, sung to us by a collection of folk singers from the northeast of England. Bye for now.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be all else but naught to me, save that Thou art. Be Thou my best thought in the day and the night, both waking and sleeping. Thy presence, my light. Be Thou my wisdom, be Thou my true word, be Thou ever with me, and I with Thee, Lord. Be Thou my great Father, Son. Be Thou in me dwelling, Thou my breastplate, my sword for the fire.